running for the same office against the same person, a smaller group met, it was at the coast somewhere, and I remember that. Small room downstairs, that's where it was somewhere, I can't recall exactly. I do remember, however, the governor was a little late coming in and had been stopped by the police and had received then his third ticket to became famous after he became elected. I think the fortunate thing for you is that both of us have records, and I want to stress that. Mine's a different record than his. No, the trends that we had in serving public life, it's important that you relate to that, and I hope that you do as you consider your endorsement of either one of us. My purpose in saying that, and I'm going to, of course, talk about ballot measure number 6. My purpose in saying that is that, of course, that is the burning issue at the present time. But as you think about who it is you wish to endorse, you consider our records, what we've done not only the last week or 2 months, but what each of us have done during our public life. It's also, I think, fair to say, and same thing could be said to our governor, that it's important to me that I get your endorsement. Certainly it's important to him. This is an important event on our own schedules. But it's to your credit that it is an important event. And I mean that. I've told so many people so many times about becoming active in this political system, and I've used the OEA as an example of the kind of success you can get when you are active in the system. So my view of your action is very positive, and you are showing others how they can in fact become part of our system. Now something I want to make a statement in regard to my record, because I will be talking about 6. Is that clearly there is absolutely nothing in my 20-year record, which includes thousands of votes, and I think especially in terms of your interest, as a Senate Education Committee member and chairman, that would prove that I would either, that would ever support the destruction of our local government or our schools. Nothing will prove that. No one has been really a greater advocate of local government and our schools than I am. Some may be equal, none greater. And there's no reason to think I'm going to change. I didn't change when I was running for governor last time. I'm not going to change now for any reason whatsoever. And so that is, in a general sense, my 20-year record. Now that isn't to say we aren't going to disagree, because we have in the past and we probably will in the future. But this one thing I'm absolutely certain about, that we will never disagree on the objective. We may disagree on how you achieve that objective, but not on the objective itself, because I feel that I want what you want, and that is good education for the young people in our society. I certainly think that fair treatment and commensurate compensation for teachers is one way to achieve this, among others. But I believe that we are on the same trail. Now, let's talk about ballot measure number 6 and ballot measure number 11. And I want you to know exactly why I made the decision I did. It's interesting, when I was interviewed just briefly before I came in, the fellow said, "Now I see a lot of Stop 6 and a lot of Stop 6 t-shirts, and don't you feel a little uncomfortable about coming into the room?" And I said, "No, I don't feel uncomfortable about that at all." Last Thursday noon, as you know, I came out in favor of 6, and I'll describe to you exactly under what form. And I am aware, of course, that as an association, you oppose ballot measure number 6. So I want have you just go through the system that I went through in my own mind before I made my conclusion. I'm going to be absolutely frank with you in regard to it. I think it's important. I first must note that I've really been on the side of attempting to slow the dramatic growth in all government spending. Obviously, my role has been at the state level. As early as, or as recent as last session of the Oregon Legislature, I asked for the return of $170 million surplus to you and other taxpayers. I asked for indexing. And as I think about indexing now, I certainly think you would be among those that I think most easily fit the reasons for indexing. Because as you go for salaries, you're trying to go for that which relates to the cost of living or inflation. And in that very process, the state of Oregon benefits because of your raise in pay. You either get more money to pay taxes on, or you get bumped into a new tax bracket. Either way, because you got the raise because of inflation, the state of Oregon took last time $140 million bite from your tax return. I introduced that bill into the Oregon legislature to soften that effect. I decided when 6 became a reality, and you must also remember that all during the primary election, I said that property tax relief was the number one issue in Oregon. And before I concluded my campaign, I described a plan to relieve property taxes, which did include a limitation. My limitation, however, was on income. Using a rough figure of 3% of your income, by way of example of what I said, finally, if you made $12,000 a year, $360 is all you would pay in terms of property tax. I want you to remember that, because I had decided that property tax relief was a major issue, and I'm the only one that I know of. As a matter of fact, I am the only one that not only said that, but described a specific way to cure that. Then comes along ballot measure number 6. The easiest thing in the world to do, and it was done by some, to say I'm against it. I know that the governor did that. Now, he didn't prescribe any alternative in any way. He just said he was against it and was going to fight it. Now, let's stop and think about this a second. 200,000 Oregonians signed that. I'm sure that many of those 200,000 were state employees and teachers, because they too are taxpayers. What's 200,000 mean? That word has been used many, many times in the recent months. I've broken it down this way. You can pick anything you want, but I picked some towns in Oregon to describe what 200,000 was. First of all, it would be all of the people in 18 counties. That's half of the counties in Oregon. But it would be all of the people in Eugene, all of the people in Roseburg, all of the people in Medford, all of the people in Klamath Falls, and all of the people in Pendleton, all of them, man, woman, and child, not just taxpayers and voters. That's what 200,000 is. And these people presented to us a principle of controlling government spending. Now, I know all the problems with ballot measure number 6, and we'll describe that in a second. But the principle was this. Limit the increase of the assessed value of my property and limit the dollars you can charge against it. That was the 1.5%. And that's what it said. Now, there were some other things, and they created some problems, and I'm aware of it. And they picked the 75 date, 75, 76. I'm aware of the problems with that as well. But when you put that all aside, this was the principle that they presented to us. I think you are astute enough to know there is more than one way, which was 6. There's more than 2 ways, which is 6 and 11. There are probably 50 ways to accomplish this job of trying to control government and give property tax relief. But 200,000 Oregonians gave us that principle. And it's important to remember what I said, what it did. Limited the assessed value, and it limited the amount you could charge against it. And that's very important to remember. Now, the special session came along, and just prior to that, because I had declared myself that I was going to give my views on ballot measure number 6 at the latter part of August. I thought it was important enough at least to read the measure, to study it, and I also want you to know that I've been campaigning very hard all over Oregon. I've been moving very hard, and I campaigned very hard, and I'm trying to squeeze this all in. We had 53 questions asked of the Attorney General. I waited until he made that decision. I finally said to the media, I will tell you before the month is out what I'm going to do. Now, coincidentally, not because of it, I made my statement just prior to the session. And what I said was that what we ought to do is take ballot measure number 6, the principle given to us by the people, and fix it up. And that's exactly what I attempted to do during the special session. I actually submitted that to the committee a week before the session started, and I submitted that as a minority report during the session. And incidentally, that principle almost passed the House of Representatives. It failed by one vote, a 30-30 tie in the House of Representatives. Ballot measure number 11 does neither one of those two things. It does not limit the assessed value against your property, nor does it limit the amount that can be charged against it. Now, I am aware of the local government limitation in ballot measure number 11. But I can tell you, because I've researched myself, that within about a 7-year period, you and others in Oregon will be paying the same tax as you're paying today. The incremental growth allowed in ballot measure number 11 allows just exactly that. Another thing ballot measure 11 does, and I think will offend people, is that it will allow an increase in the assessed value of property. Now, I know there's a 1-year freeze. I'm aware of that. But when that 1-year freeze is let off, your property is going to go up, and you're going to be offended, because you thought that you were curing something, and you're not. And so when I looked at it, and I said the people had indicated this was the principle that they wanted to follow, that was not in 11, but even if something like that had been achieved, I might have considered it. But I am fully aware that the people are going to be indignant, and if you think we have a ballot measure number 6 now, wait for 2 years from now, when assessed values go up and the charges against their property start going up again, and they're really going to be indignant. And I say that that's an unfair thing to do. And I don't want to really be a party to it. And I think you ought to consider what I just told you very carefully. Let me suggest one other thing. I proposed, when I took my position on 6, I said I want to make it very clear to all of you who are listening to me that if you vote for me, I intend to come back to the Oregon legislature and make a specific set of requests in regard to ballot measure number 6. And it's on that basis that I failed. The principle was there, but it needed fixing up. And I said, you should know this, that I will separate homes and business. And that hasn't gotten me a lot of attention from the business community, I might add. I will separate homes and business. I will increase the value of both for the 77-78 tax year. I will include mobile homes, which are not in ballot measure number 6. I will include renters, which is in 11 and would be in my proposal. I would eliminate the 2% increment, which is in 6, and would allow reassessment of property is sold, remodeled, or there's a change of ownership. I would eliminate all of that, as I did incidentally at the special session, and let the raise come according to a consumer price index. I would allow a simple vote if more than 50% of the people turned out. And one of the unique things that had been in no bill at all is that any new district that was to be formed under any limitation would have to have a 2/3 vote. And my purpose there is that if a new district came in, it would in effect take a piece of the tax income from all other taxing districts, and it should have a majority vote. Now, our choice was this. Incidentally, my proposal was the least expensive of them all. It would be $300 million. Ballot measure number 11 is $500 million. first call on the Treasury, and it's going to be more than that as years move along. The most expensive one, of course, is six all by itself. But my plan was $300 million. I felt that the Oregon State Legislature, could deal with that easily. Here's our choice then. We could be for or against six. We could be for or against 11. Or we could be against both. And incidentally, there was a proposal that you might have had about maybe number 12. And I can't describe it to you, but it was proposed to us, and it would be this way on the ballot. If you want to vote no on 6 and no on 11, you vote for 12. So anyway, I see my time is up. I want you to question me. I want you to know why I lied. And I finally said, the people gave us a principle. I know we cannot live with it. I don't think the Oregon legislature will. I made it very clear. As the elected governor of Oregon, I would come quickly back and ask for the changes I just described, and on that basis, I became for six. Thank you very much.
And when you were a governor, or John Winquist from Beaverton Education Association, when you were elected governor and ballot six has also passed, what guarantees do we have that these changes will be brought about? Have you seen any polls or anything that will lead us to a conclusion that we can, that we can really rely on this?
Yes. No, not in terms of a poll, but I've been there long enough to know. Let's take ourselves, and many of you incidentally have been involved in the legislature. Let's take ourselves to January of next year, and six has passed. And I've already identified the problems with it, and I'm not all by myself because many others helped along with the material that I read that you gave me. The legislature, however, will not be going through the gyrations we did in the special session. No alternatives, no new ideas, no other different way of doing it. We'll have just six. And I will make a strong recommendation. I absolutely know the leadership of the Oregon legislature will follow that. I'm aware that they didn't really dislike my proposal. As I told you, the House almost passed a cleaned up version of six. And I feel absolutely confident without any reservation whatsoever that the changes will be made. Now, they'll have to be put to you to a vote. That will be your final decision.
Michael Portland. There's a reason why the teachers have come out against six. There's a reason why the kinds of layoffs that are sure to happen if this much money is cut away from local governments.
I am absolutely and positively confident that what you describe will not happen. If I really was worried about it, I would be timid about six, and I have to agree with you. But I believe, without any doubt and a reservation of mine, as I answered the first question, that the Oregon legislature will deal with the amendments that I propose. They may want to make some variation on them. And that's obviously their opportunity. That there will be a special session of the Oregon legislature, a special election during the Oregon legislature's meeting, as there was in the safety net last time, and that people will make changes in six. And I believe that. Now, if you believe nothing will be done, sure, you should worry about it. And I agree with you. Absolutely. I don't believe nothing will be done.
I'm Frank Long from Cottage Grove, South Lane School District. And the Education Association. You spoke a good deal about your plan. It's my understanding that you served on the interim committee that was recommending to the legislature a plan that was responsible for coming up with that plan. I understand that you're on the Education Committee in the Senate, and yet your plan did not come out as the plan that was endorsed by the legislature. What makes you think that possibly after an overwhelming vote, like in California, of the people for Measure 6, that you would then be able to actually achieve modifications of the ballot measure?
First, I'm trying to think of what you mentioned, the interim committee. I'm not on it. Maybe you meant the committee that met a week before the session started?
Yes.
I am not on the Education Committee and have been for a couple of sessions. Why the Oregon legislature didn't accept my plan is up for speculation. They also didn't accept the governor's plan, I might add, and that would be up for speculation as well. Mine went further and came closer to passing, as I say, within one vote in the House of Representatives with a 30-30 tie. It was my understanding that Renters had been involved, it would have passed, and then we would have been dealing with a cleanup six, which was what we should have done. Now, what makes me believe the Oregon legislature will deal with that subject? They won't have any other choice. They won't be sitting there trying to figure out alternatives. The people will have already passed the six. There's no time for alternatives then. The time then would be to fix it up. And that, incidentally, as I told you, I'm confident the leadership of the Oregon legislature would be willing to do and work at, because we have to take my word for that. As I say, it has already exercised, the House almost passed by itself. So the mood and atmosphere is there to have that occur. I have no hesitation. When I tell you what I'm telling you, I know you have to take my word for it. I understand that. And you have to judge whether or not I'm telling you the way I see it. I know you know I'm telling the way I see what's going to happen. But I am perfectly comfortable that it will be.
Wendell Myers, North Clackamas. Senator, just get off the six for a minute. What's your stand on earlier retirement for teachers and improved retirement benefits?
I said that the question was asked within 3 or 4 years or longer, or more frequently last a couple of years ago when I was running for the Senate, that certainly I would support that. But I made this proviso, which I think is an important proviso, that it must be actuarially sound. And my purpose there is that I don't really want to endanger the retirement benefits of those that are beginning in their career in education in order to be able to take care of those who want to retire early now. But if it can be done and proved actuarially sound, I support it.
And if by some miracle you could pull off the patch-up plan of ballot measure 6, which you have described, because obviously you're going to have an overwhelmingly Democratic legislature to face with, you being a Republican governor if you are elected. If you could pull that off, you have described some of the legal and technical faults in ballot measure 6. However, your plan does not deal with the major fault that these people are concerned about, and that all public employees and many citizens that are outside of public employment. And that major fault is that loss of revenue. If you're going to give the plan $300 million and we're losing $800 million in revenue, there's $500 million there lost, and that's going to mean some lost jobs.
Maybe I didn't make myself clear. The proposal as I made it, the whole cost, people passed, would be $300 million. Okay, that's all. Now I say that's all, that's a lot of money. That's all. Ballot Measure 11 is going to cost $500 million. Now I know that 6, as it sits, I think was figured at $845 million. But what I'm saying is the plan adopted by the Oregon legislation passed by the people would be $300 million. And I have no doubt in my mind that this could be dealt with. We could even actually do what 11 has done and say we're going to send it back this amount of money. We'll be able to live with that. You have to understand one of the things that we usually really have to look at. Maybe I want to give a little extra speech here. You may want to be against 6, but you may also want to be against 11. And I'm asking you to look at that because there's $500 million we're giving money to basic school support right now in large sums, and we're going to try to achieve 50%. I'm not sure that we can do it under either plan, 6, 11, or 3. But the point is the general fund now is squeezed down. Look at that before you make your decisions, even on 11.
Microphone 3. Senator Victor, I don't think that you're speaking to me. It bothers me sometimes when people think that the group that I belong to here might be stupid. You say that you admit that we in Oregon cannot live with 6, and that it needs to be cleaned up, and that you feel you have the leadership in the House to make changes there, and I think admitted that you might not be able to pull that off with the voters. But it wonders to me, if this really is your position, why don't you oppose both 6 and 11, go to the people and ask them to put their confidence in you, and that you will present to them then a better plan.
I thought about that. Seriously, I did. The thing that really concerned me as much as anything, and understand, I've been there now for 20 years, and I've seen my colleagues in the Oregon legislature. And I think what the people would say is, yeah, Vic, I trust you, at least I would hope they would. I'm not sure about that. But I mean that sincerely. I understand my role in society and what people think of politicians, and I'm not trying to be coy about it. But what I think they're afraid of is that if the people turn them both down, that we really didn't mean it in the first place and there isn't any problem. And that, I think, is the most dangerous situation with that kind of position. I thought of it, as I told you in my speech, you'd be 4-6, 4-11, or against them both. And I thought about all of that. And I finally came down the way I did. I suppose, as far as you're concerned, I should have come down your way, but I just decided that that was the way it ought to be. And I want you to know that I did it in good faith, and I believe in what I'm doing, and I believe future will prove me correct. If 6 passes, 11 does pass, that's something else.
California passage of ballot measure 13 wiped out some negotiated increases for teachers and disrupted basically the negotiating procedures for gaining contracts. Where will you come down if ballot measure 6 or 11 passes as far as public employees still having the right to negotiate their agreement and the right to strike?
I think I've said to any number of you, you know where I've been in the past on it, but I've said clearly to you for the past 3 or 4 years, and I can't remember exactly how long a period of time, that the public employee bargaining bill is law in Oregon, and I will do everything in my power to make it work. Oregonians want it. I will not impede it. I think that's the way you go legally, and in no way will I impede it whatsoever. None. And I've said that to small groups, my own Beaverton Association, and I mean it. Exactly that. And incidentally, I think California politics has been punitive, and I would never stand still for that in Oregon.
Inform me the American Association for Retired Persons, and I know for a fact that a number of these persons signed the petition. I've had a number of them say, I no longer will, and you just answered part of my question. 700,000 people, aged, blind, and disabled, are going to lose their cost of living, state funded from California. All right, the thing I am saying is that you gave us a beautiful example of what 200,000 meant. I'm saying that maybe 200,000 no longer are for about major 6. I think you're selling the people of Oregon short. We're smarter than Californians.
Well, first, the whole atmosphere is that we're worried 6 is going to pass, and there's going to be $845 million cut, and everybody's going to stand there with their hands in their pockets. I'm trying to tell you as clearly as I can that if 6 passes, no one will be standing with their hands in their pocket. I can tell you that the points that I picked out, you all clearly already know. And the Oregon legislature will, in fact, send out to the people, and I'm confident they will pass it. All they want is a limitation on the assessed value and the dollars you can apply against it. That's what the principle. We would stay with that. If we had done that in a special session, you wouldn't be worried about 6 now. You'd be pushing for the alternative of 6, which is a cleanup 6. So I'm saying to you that I know the atmosphere, but Oregon and their legislators will not sit there with their hands in their pockets. I know that. Now, as far as the cuts are concerned, I don't think it really has to take place under the plan I just described to you. I do worry about measure number 11. It's going to, I think, cost even more than $500 million. That comes off the top. You have to ask the question, where is the $500 million going to come from?
Senator Tian, at the Republican convention in Bend in August, a split in the delegation from your county, Washington County, allowed 7+ delegates from Multnomah County to be seated.
No.
Okay, this split together with the city and the Multnomah County delegation, guaranteed the election of Walter Hutt, the state chairmanship of the Republican Party. Now, there are those who see your alliance with Doubt Major Six as perhaps catering to that right-wing faction. I would like for you to speak to that.
I'm really devastated when you just made that statement, if somebody believes that. I really am. To think that by my position on six creates a particular alliance, I feel very bad about it. I really do. I've got 20 years of history in terms of both my party and my legislative action. I told you today where I came from and how I got there. And I did it out of my own conscience. You may disagree, and I understand that's part of our society. But I did it just pure and simply because I honestly believe in what I'm saying. You may believe I'm wrong. But what I guess I'm saying to you when I say I'm devastated, to think that anyone would think that there's that kind of a relationship that I'm caving into something from some other pressure. There was no exterior pressure in that sense. I heard people. I heard the 200,000, I've heard people that are against six and why they're against six. I just came down the way I felt was the right way and I'm comfortable with it. And I believe very much in what I'm telling you. And that's pure and simply the only reason I did what I did.
Barbara Kirk from Shemeketa Community College Education Association. And my concern is that if indeed you can get the support of your colleagues and clean up, how do you propose to then get the voters to concur with that?
You will be leading the campaign, I would presume, to clean up six. You and others, state employees, many other people. Because you know and I know that six needs to be cleaned up. And I would look for the leadership from here and elsewhere and make sure it got done. And I believe it can. You are a strength in the political arena. That's why I'm here. That's why the governor's going to be here. You are a strength in the political arena. You and others are going to make sure that the word gets out. And I think most people, doing my job, agree with the changes that I've suggested.
We have time for about a 15-second question and a one-minute answer.
Bob Cornell from the Eugene Education Association. I've never done anything in less than 15 seconds. In order to make the kinds of changes you prescribe on six, you would have to gain two-thirds of both the House and Senate, and then after that you'd have to gain two-thirds of the people of the state, according to six. Now, if six passes, then that's imposed. And I'd like to know how you plan on doing that.
Well, you know, you're asking me questions that call for judgment answers, and you can agree with my judgment or not. And I understand that. So you're asking me a judgmental question, I'll give you a judgmental answer, and my answer is I think you can do it. Now, you may say I'm foolish and naive. I would only leave you with this one thought before I leave. If you want to be on the side of 11, and incidentally, I don't know where you are on that, and I'm asking you to be very cautious about it, when the people find out, if 11 passes, that their assessed value starts going up again, and that the taxes on their property start going up again, if, as I told you, you look at it very carefully, you think six was bad, once they find they've been offended by a change by the Oregon legislature, that I really don't want to be in that gunfire. So I'm asking you, if you are against six, that's your judgment. I understand it. I'm going to ask you to look at 11 very carefully before you make a decision on that one. My judgment is that the people of Oregon are going to feel deceived when they find out what happened in 11. Thank you all for your time. I enjoyed it very much.
Then is ballot measure number six. For example, a $30,000 typical home, ballot measure number 11 would provide $350 of tax relief, and ballot measure number 6 would provide only $220 of tax relief. In Salem, for example, on a $45,000 home, the tax today would be $1,300,
Under 6, it'll be $872. Under 11, it'll be $660. And then $200 in catastrophic tax relief to the homeowner under 11, then will occur under 6. So this is because under 11, the property tax benefits are restricted to the homeowner and to the renter. In addition to being very unfair to the homeowners of Oregon, it's a disaster for local government, including schools. It not only, it won't just cause a belt tightening of the school systems of Oregon, it's going to cause a decapitation of the school systems of Oregon. And I'm very pleased to be here today to talk to you about this program, because I think that Major 6 is one of the most serious threats that we face in the state of Oregon. I don't know how we can function and operate in the state of Oregon, Ballot Measure Number 6 is passed. I can't conceive of anything worse happening here in the state of Oregon than Ballot Measure Number 6 being approved. Unless it's bigger than you, you know, I can go. This is an important convention because you're dealing with several important issues. And I know that you and I have not always agreed on every issue. In fact, I still have some of the scars left from some of our recent tangles. But you should know that I have respect for your lobbyists, John Danielson and John Satchel. And that they are, and the other people represent you in Salem, do an excellent job. As I've said, we don't agree on everything. But we can agree on one thing. And that is that we must stop Ballot Measure Number 6. Ballot Measure Number 6 must be defeated because it is unfair and unworkable. As I said earlier, because its main benefits flow to relieve the taxes of big business and big industry. There's one company in Multnomah County that will get $3 million of property tax relief under 6. Well, I'm here today to talk politics with you. I'm here to talk politics because in our society, politics determines the way we live, determines the quality of life in our society. It's not a naughty word. It's an essential of community living. You all know that I'm a Democrat, but you should also know that I'm first of all a citizen of the state of Oregon. You all know or should know that I'm a Truman Democrat. I'm also a sound businessman. And the two are not incompatible. You can be concerned about schools and school programs and human welfare and human development and still be concerned about economy and effectiveness. Edmund Burke wrote almost 100 years ago that, and I quote, "Your representative owes you not his industry only, but his judgment, and he betrays you instead of serving you if he sacrifices that judgment to your opinion," end quote. As governor, I'm the person in this state who represents all the people. I have to make judgments which I think best for all of the people. I'm opposed to Ballot Measure Number 6 because it is unfair to the people of Oregon and bad for the state of Oregon. That is why I decided to call a special session of the legislature to be to come up with an alternative to Measure 6. I made that kind of judgment when I offered the framework that has now become Ballot Measure Number 11, the Oregon Plan. I was told that I was putting my neck on the block when I began opposing Ballot Measure Number 6. There were many throughout this state who simply threw up their hands and forecast doom for state and local government. There were many who, out of fear or paralysis, were ready to surrender Oregon's future to a California-conceived initiative. As governor, I simply saw no way that I could afford the luxury of inaction. I had to act. I had to oppose Major 6. I don't have to get long-winded to explain to you because you've been right out there with me from the very beginning against Ballot Measure Number 6. You know the reasons for opposing 6. Now I hope you'll study Ballot Measure Number 11 and give your support to this measure and help educate your citizens about it. It's the right measure for this time and it should be passed. Whatever flaws you might find in Ballot Measure Number 11, they are minuscule in size compared to the grave serious defects in Ballot Measure Number 6. When I called the legislature to session, I told them 200,000 of our citizens had given us a clear direct message that our homes are in jeopardy, their livelihoods threatened, their futures are mortgaged, and they want help now. They want tax relief, and they want certainty that the homes they live in now will still be affordable tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. They want tax relief, and they want it now. They also want tighter control over state and local spending. I warned the legislature that any solution we came up with would have to address that issue also. The measure we have created, ballot measure number 11, the Oregon plan, meets both of these criteria. And there's a freeze put on assessed values for 2 years to give the next session of the legislature an opportunity to devise a more workable, practical plan for dealing with increases in assessed valuations on property. In the light of today's reality, 11 is a good measure. We've needed something like it for a long time. I hope we can get it passed in November. Ballot measure number 11 will cause some belt tightening at all levels. But if government is like people, a little belt tightening will be good. Sometimes a new restrictive diet is healthy. I've begun that tightening already in Salem. Earlier this week, I ordered that all state agencies would create their new budgets that would bring them under the limitation imposed if Measure 11, in fact, were now law. I urge all of the 330 school districts in this state to do the same thing. I urge you to work for the passage of Ballot Measure number 11 and to start planning for it now. The well-being of our children is on the line. There's more danger to Measure 6 than meets the eye. It doesn't have much to do with charts and computer runs. It has more to do with a thing called the quality of life. When you think about sex, think about that delicate fabric that we call the quality of life. In Oregon, we are justly proud of our unique state. We fly in the face of national trends. We conserve while others waste. We save our land and our energy, our beaches, our farmland, and our rivers, while others waste theirs. And while others turn their backs on the old, the infirm, and the out of work in Oregon, we care enough to help people and still make sure that people retain their dignity. The fabric of Oregon society is woven of a fine cloth. Surely one of the finest threads that weaves within this fabric is our schools and our teachers and the schools that they teach in. As teachers, you know how ballot measure number 6 will damage you. May cut the heart out of an important program that you've nurtured years to build, and that your gifted children or your slow learners are thriving on. It may be the end of someone's job, maybe a colleague, maybe a close friend, maybe your own job. Your buildings and your students will be in jeopardy. You know, and you and all of us will be so much the worse for that loss. Ballot measure 6 will mean a lessening of morale, a lowering of qualities of school. That in turn will have its direct impact on the community, immediately around the school and the wider community we all share. My wife Pat and I came to Oregon by choice. We weren't born here. We weren't sent here to work for a company. We picked Oregon because of the beauty of its environment and the spirit of its people, and because of the wonderfulness of this great state. And for 25 years that I've been in politics, I've tried to leave my footprint around Oregon, preserving the things that are worthwhile. That's why I fought to make the beaches of Oregon public for all the people to enjoy. That's why I fought to keep the highways off of the beaches in Oregon, where they were threatened. That's why I fought to clean up the Willamette River. That's why I fought to create the Willamette Greenway so we'd have a wild recreational corridor up and down the state of Oregon from Eugene to Portland. And that's why I fought to maintain a fair tax system in Oregon to support our institutions such as our schools, so that we would have adequate school systems here in the state. That's why I fought to have land use planning, so the growth that's coming to Oregon wouldn't destroy Oregon. This is why I want your help. And this is why I would like to have your endorsement. because I think I'm reaching the peak of my effectiveness as governor of the state of Oregon. It takes time to learn this important job. The only place to learn it is on the job. I've been there 3.5 years now, and that's not long enough. Another 4 years is what I plead for, what I ask.